If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham on a Thursday morning. Plenty to get to throughout the course of the show tonight. You know, not a lot going on today. So, we're just going to talk some sports and enjoy ourselves here. The Sixers get a big win. There is more fallout from the Philadelphia Eagles and the end of their season and a ton of stuff. To get to. I believe the Flyers are starting tonight, a preseason game. I just went to ESPN.com and it said they had a game scheduled for 5:30 tonight, which is an odd time to schedule a hockey game. So I suppose the Flyers are playing. If anybody can enlighten me on that any further, go ahead. What's that look you're making? What you're giving me, Mike?
That's 5:30 is the time of their opener to the season next week.
Oh.
It's not...
I just assumed it was tonight. Oh, well, why is their opening game at 5:30 then? A regular season game? That makes even less sense. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't. Well,
it's weird.
I don't know if you want to put Sudfeld in, though. It's less people watching.
Yeah. I mean, there's millions and millions of dollars at stake or something like that. But yeah, we got to get to that later on because all these national people who are chiming in on the Eagles situation, like, just shut up. Every single one of you. And we'll get to all of them, including the most annoying person in sports media. Literally, there is somebody who is the most annoying person. I don't know why this guy is still in sports media anywhere. We'll get to that. We'll also get to...
All of them can go to hell.
Thank you.
Go to hell.
Mad Dog.
All of you. Go to hell.
I can never tell if it's the last go to hell, if there's one more. I always forget about it because there's always that one pause.
You got to wait for the all of you.
Right. And then the go to hell. Man, that was a great moment during the pandemic when we got that Russo sound. The match with Brady. Yeah, he didn't like that Tom Brady could go golf and he couldn't.
Which had like tremendous moments of comedy, of, you know, performance, Brady ripping his pants. Like it was a win for everyone.
Right.
Like, it was just a tremendous success.
It was. It ended up being wildly successful. So yeah, we'll get to everybody bashing the Eagles later on as well. Because it's gotten a little ridiculous. But where I want to start tonight, and you know, I think you can take lessons from wherever you look in the world today. Where we clearly see what happens when there is a failure in leadership. Wherever you look around. And, you know, we see it in sports all the time. We might see it some other places as well. You know, take from that whatever you'd like, whatever you think. But when leadership fails, there are major consequences. And so many times when the leader fails to do their job well in any manner of business, you know, sports, government, whatever you want to say, when the leader fails to do his job well, it impacts the ability of others to do their jobs well. It doesn't absolve others that don't do their jobs well, but it certainly has an impact. And, you know, you look at the Sixers, and I think this is very interesting when you apply it to what's happened with them comparatively to where we are right now with the Philadelphia Eagles. Look at the 76ers and leadership and the fact that for many years, we saw an organization that had failures in leadership as far as team building. Really, over my entire life, this has been an issue with that organization. There was a brief period in the late 90s, early 2000s, when the Sixers had Allen Iverson. Even then, I would say they didn't build well around Allen Iverson. They got to one NBA Finals, but they certainly didn't maximize the talents of their best player. I think that's pretty clear because they failed to put the right things around him, but they got to the finals one year. You give credit where it's due. But you look at especially the last few years with Brian Colangelo and his failures and the moves that he made to put this team in a bad position, none bigger than the trade up to get Markelle Fultz, which I've ripped Markelle Fultz a lot. In all seriousness, shame what happened to him last night. Torn ACL, out for the season. No joking matter whatsoever. I still think Markelle Fultz handled himself childishly here, but I don't want to see anybody get hurt. That's a shame. Good for him, though. He signed that new contract a week ago.
I think you checked all the boxes on what you're required to say, except you just never want to root for that. You never want to see
that. I thought I did say that.
You didn't say the root one.
Oh, okay.
You never root for a guy to get hurt.
Yeah, because you do. In those kind of situations, you already got to cover your bases with some. Like, I'd say the same thing, like, if Bradford got hurt or somebody else who I've trashed right. A ton. Like, if Wentz gets hurt next year, you know, you never want to see it. And that is true. And that is a shame for Markelle. Hope he makes a full recovery and can come back to doing whatever he does on the basketball court that's worthy of $50 million. But so be it. You know, you look at the failures in leadership the last couple years with Brett Brown and Elton Brand and the moves that they have made, whether it be the Tobias Harris trade, letting Jimmy Butler walk, a decision that looks worse every single day. Inexplicably, I've been watching a lot of Phoenix Suns so far this season. They've been on national TV a lot. And Mikal Bridges is like really good. He's like a really good player. Like, this is not just you got Zaire Smith and can't play, who couldn't play at all. You gave up Mikal Bridges, who is a really good NBA player and would have fit perfectly on this team. So you look at failures in leadership and what it has done to the 76ers. And the stark difference when you bring in somebody like Daryl Morey, who is competent. And what Daryl Morey has done in the matter of weeks, I would say, is more productive than I've had from Sixers leadership my entire life up to this point. When you look at what Daryl Morey has done and just a novel concept of just putting guys around your two best players who fit with your two best players. You know, it's not that insane of an idea, something that may have, you know, occurred to Colangelo or Elton or Brett. But look at what Daryl Morey's done. You know, bringing in Danny Green, bringing in Seth Curry, building a bench that complements each other, drafting Tyrese Maxey. You don't overthink it. You get to the point in the draft, Maxey falls to you. You're like, this guy's a really good player. Let's take him. And you see the difference when you have competent leadership in place as opposed to poor leadership. And you look at that, and I kind of want to compare that to where we are with the Eagles right now. And as the Eagles head into this critical offseason, one of the big questions was regarding the future of Howie Roseman. And Howie's track record, I'd say spotty is a good word to describe it. I think that's exactly the way that you would fairly categorize Howie Roseman's career in Philadelphia. It's spotty. We know his story. Came up in this organization, has been with the Eagles, I believe, for like 20 years now. I think he came in around 2000 and was basically Joe Banner's, underling, and has rose through the organization to get where he is now.
His title in 2000 was, it wasn't quite that. It was
salary, not underling?
No, it was okay. Salary cap staff council.
So essentially, he was Joe Banner's underling. Well, he got it pretty much right.
He was like Costanza.
Yeah, and yeah, George was always an underling. He was never anybody, I think that's fair. But we know Howie's story. Came up in the organization, was pushed aside when Chip, seized power after being instrumental in drafting this team's core. I mean, you look at Howie and the 2 years where he had a pretty large say, 3 years where he had a pretty large say in the Eagles drafts prior to being pushed aside. You look at guys like Brandon Graham, Jason Kelce, Fletcher Cox, Nick Foles, Lane Johnson, Zach Ertz. Howie's instrumental at that point in drafting this team's core. There's no doubt about that. Gets pushed aside in 2015, comes back, and does a really nice job. Works out of a really difficult salary cap situation that Chip had unfortunately put the team in. Made a lot of signings that offseason. Rodney McLeod, Brandon Brooks, solid signings that have supplemented and added to that team's core. And of course, the trade up to get Carson Wentz, which whatever we think about Carson Wentz now, that trade will always be worth it considering what it helped deliver in 2017. And ever since then, those last few years, ever since 2017, things have not gone well. And that is where this gets muddled and goes from Howie being pretty good at his job to Howie's track record being rather spotty when you look at the free agent signings that haven't worked and the draft picks that have been disastrous, whether it be J.J. Arcega-Whiteside or, to this point, Andre Dillard, Jalen Reagor. It's been a mess. And now, once again, this team is in a bad position. And when you look at Howie's future, I have said repeatedly, I don't believe that Howie Roseman necessarily needs to go completely. I know that's what everybody wants, but if there are still things that he can do well, and there are still things that I believe he can do well, just look at what the Eagles have done the last few days in restructuring Alshon Jeffrey and Malik Jackson's contracts. You move some money around, boom. $23 million in cap space created for next season. That is a tangible ability. That is a good ability that Howie Roseman still possesses. He is good at the salary cap stuff. He is good at restructuring contracts. He is good at moving money around. And he is still proficient in those sorts of areas, making trades, etc. Howie's been good at making trades in the past. But I've also been steadfast in saying that he needs player personnel power, if not completely taken away, in a spot where he is not the primary decision maker. And we didn't get to a lot of Howie sound from the other night like I wanted to get to following his press conference the other day. We will get to plenty of it throughout the show tonight. But to start, here were Howie's opening comments on Monday afternoon.
This has been a disappointing, embarrassing, frustrating season. Obviously, what we've done here, when you win four games, that's on all of us. That's on me. We have really good people here. We have to figure out how to fix this and get this back on the right path.
And I think that's obvious to everybody. This was a disastrous season for a team that I didn't even expect to be that good. I picked them to be 8-8 this year. I picked them to miss the playoffs. Turns out 8-8 would have won you this division rather comfortably. But you, what are you laughing at, Mike? Because 7-19 won? Yeah, I mean, they would have clinched going into the final week, would they not?
Just laughing. Winning by one game would be comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, pretty comfortable. Okay. But so be it. Comfortably may have been a poor choice of words.
Comfortably enough to play Sudfeld?
Maybe. I mean, I'm sorry if I offended you with that comment. But, you know, you look now at where this team is and what they have to do moving forward and what Howie Roseman's role should be. And as I said, I think he does need personnel power taken away to a degree. But I still think there is a world in which he can stay in the organization. But real quick, here is, you know, Howie was then asked in regards to his job, in regards to his future, is he the guy to fix this situation? Here is his response.
Well, we're a 4-11-1 roster. So, I mean, you are what your record says you are. But the 3 years before, we had won 35 games. We have a lot of players who are on this team, some of them older, that are drafted by our organization, drafted by the people in this building that are going to end up going to the Eagles Hall of Fame. That doesn't mean that we haven't missed on some picks. And I would just say, you know, if there's a guy that's playing really well that we were looking at in the draft or decided to go in a different direction, I mean, those things hurt. Those things are punches to your gut. And I think we have exceptional people in this building. You know, I know sometimes, and it's my responsibility to sit up here, but, you know, we're a group. We have a really good staff. We have really good people in this building, people that we spent a lot of time trying to recruit to come to Philadelphia and help us. You know, last two GMs, National Football League, were from this organization, which I think says a lot about this organization. And we've built winning teams before, and that's our job to continue to do that. And that's what we'll do here.
And as we look at leadership, and, you know, when you look at the Sixers and you see how a competent leader, a competent person in the front office has seemingly changed their fortunes completely, where back 5 months ago, whatever it was, 6 months ago, 5 months ago, in August when the Sixers were eliminated from the postseason, we felt so bleak about their future. But hiring Daryl Morey, remaking the roster with competent leadership, has totally changed everybody's opinion, where now you look at them, there's only optimism, and you look at a team that could potentially be a championship contender. You compare that to the Eagles, and when you hear that answer, in regards to why Howie feels he's the guy to fix this, do you buy what Howie is selling? Do you buy that sale of himself as the person within the Eagles front office that can get this back on track? Howie says, we have good people in this front office. We believe in our process. We believe in what we're doing. This is a bad year. This is a step back. This is a disappointment. But now we know what we need to fix, we know what we need to correct, and we are ready to make the necessary corrections. When you hear that, do you buy what Howie Roseman is selling? Is he the guy to fix it? Can he stay in this organization? Because that's part of what I want to examine tonight. Is Howie Roseman, as we look at failures in leadership all over the place in a number of areas in the world, is Howie Roseman a competent leader of this franchise moving forward? And what do you want to see Howie's role be in the future if not completely removed? The way I look at it, I have said before, I want Howie in the organization. I think there are certain things he does very well with contracts, with trades. As I said, moving money around to create 20-plus million in cap space the last couple days. That's no small thing. And Howie's very good at doing those kind of things. But only if he cedes power in regards to player development. Only if he is not fully overseeing that department anymore. What do you see in Howie? And how do you see his role moving forward in terms of leadership? What's necessary? Will Jeffrey Lurie do what's necessary to get this franchise back on track, whether that be getting rid of Howie completely or that be taking his personnel power away? Because Jeffrey Lurie also, you know, in the leadership position, will Jeffrey Lurie do what's necessary with Howie Roseman moving forward? And do you believe Howie can get this thing back on track? 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. I see Mike in Delaware. Mike, you'll be first right after the break. And then you, if you want to get in. If you want to get in on the quarterback situation, you're welcome to do that as well. Doug Peterson, welcome to do that. Sixers, that's on the table as well. So plenty of stuff to get to throughout the course of the show tonight. I'm Tom Kelly, filling in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, I'm Tom Kelly. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. To start the show, talking about leadership and Howie Roseman, and whether you feel he can stay in the organization. Like, I think it's pretty clear that everybody probably feels how I do to a degree, that Howie needs to give up a certain amount of power. Like, I think that's pretty clear based on the draft record over the last couple years, the roster moves that have not worked out, that there needs to be some additional people brought in to at least oversee the draft, oversee certain areas of the roster that Howie has struggled to develop and assemble. But do you feel that he can stay in a capacity? And in a few minutes here, we'll get to some of what Howie had to say. And, you know, some of the excuses, I think, that's the way I took it, of why this season didn't go as planned. And I got to say, this part of it really concerned me. But, you know, in regards to Howie Roseman, can he stay with this organization in any capacity? I think so. I do. I do think he brings value as a numbers guy, as a salary cap person. He's good at navigating the cap. I know the last couple of years has caught up to them, but I still think he provides value in that area and can help in that area. But some of his comments were concerning. So we'll get to it in a couple minutes here. But anything you want to get into in regards to the Eagles, there is certainly no shortage of topics to touch on. Whether you want to get on the quarterback situation, we'll get to that. And Marcus Hayes' piece on TheEnquirer.com, which I thought was pretty a good appraisal of the Carson Wentz situation right now, is the story broke after I got off the air on Tuesday that Carson needs to sit back and reflect on what happened this season. Not necessarily asking for a trade. He's got to wait and decide whether he wants to ask for a trade, because he hasn't got there yet. You know, he's got some emotions he's got to work through. And when he's ready to decide whether he wants to be an Eagle or whether he wants to be somewhere else, then, you know, he'll let the organization know. You know, that's totally normal from a franchise quarterback, right?
He's waiting to see if Phil Rivers retires or not, right?
You know what? That could be it. Because apparently the only coach he wants to play for is Frank Reich. But he's not.
Frankie Walsh.
But he's not picky at all. He's not picky at all. He's not controlling at all. He just wants to play for one coach in the entire league. So, you know, he's not, you know, all this stuff about him being stubborn and being difficult, not true. But he does just want to play for one coach. So, sure. We'll get to that story later on. If you want to get on the quarterback situation, you're welcome to. On the comments of some of the media pundits talking about the Eagles situation for the other night, we'll get to that. And Miles Sanders' comments as well, conflicting with Jason Kelsey and Brandon Graham's comments. So a ton of stuff we got to get to. Also the Sixers, if you want to get in on their game from last night. Let's get it started on the phones with Mike in Delaware. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, I'm in Levittown now, by the way.
Oh, okay. Anyway, we'll have to matter. Change your we'll have to change your city on our board there, Mike.
Yeah,
way to go, Angelina.
I was from Fairless Hills. I moved to Delaware. I'm back in Levittown. So anyway, right. but anyway, my car is running. I'm ready to pack Carson's bags and Howie Roseman's bags. Peterson can stay. That's fine. But anyway, these losers got to get out of town. I'm done with it. Over it.
So you just want a clean house with everybody, Mike. You're just tired of the whole thing.
Not everybody. No, just Roseman because he sucks. Okay? Carson because he's soft. He's like the Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters. He's soft. He's done. I'm over it.
I'll tell you what, Mike. He kind of looks like the Marshmallow Man, too, the way he's put on a couple pounds there. He looks as mobile as he did.
Done with him, man. I'm done. Like, I don't need this. I'm over it. I've been wearing my Foles jerseys for 2 years now. I retired my Wentz jersey. It's done. My daughter's Wentz jersey's gone. No more. No, I won't even let her wear it to school. Nope. Done.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore, Mike.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm sorry. He's not Philly. He's not Philly. He ain't from around here. He don't have the attitude. He don't have the mentality. I'm done with him. I'm over it. So let's draft another quarterback. Let's Hurts and whoever they draft, wherever they get them, whoever it is, fight it out and let's start over. Like, I'm over it.
Mike, it's going to be a pretty small pool if they have to be from the Philadelphia area, if that's where you're limiting your search to here.
No, I'm not limiting. No.
All right. That's how I took it.
No, I'm not limiting my search to that. Just saying, like, you know, whether it's, we're not going to get Lawrence, of course, but, you know, Fields, whoever, like, whatever, whoever it is, let them fight it out. Let's get a fresh start. Let's start over. Let's just. You know, rebuild, trade Wentz for a pick or two. Let's get an offensive lineman. Let's get a linebacker. Let's get some help. Anything, because I can't do this anymore, man. I mean, this 2017 to today is ridiculous, man. It's over.
Yeah, like, no. They gotta figure it out, Mike. They gotta fix what's happened this year and the last couple of years.
I can't even sleep, man. Like, I'm still awake. What is it? 2:30 right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, Jesus Christ.
relax, Mike. I'd say relax a little bit. You know, it's going to be a long off season, so you don't want to burn yourself out too early.
I know, but you know, I'm mad, man. I'm mad. Like, I bleed green, man. Like, it's just too much, man. I can't do it anymore. Roseman's got to go.
I get it, Mike.
Even Peterson.
I get it, Mike. I appreciate the call. So, man, Mike's really worked up. He wants to get rid of Howie, Doug, and Carson, and he won't let his daughter wear her Wentz jersey to school anymore. I think that's a little, you know, it's a little, with kids, I don't think they really care that much.
The Zoom school?
Yeah, I mean, well, some kids are still going in part-time. My nieces are on some hybrid plan where they go in like a couple days a week and they do Zoom the other couple days. So.
I thought for some reason they were shut down. But
It goes back and forth. It varies, but hopefully they'll all be back in full-time by the end of the year, at least for next year. But you look at Howie and, you know, I was hoping... As I've been dubbed this kind of Howie guy, I'm not a Howie guy, okay? I'm not somebody who thinks Howie needs to be fully in charge of everything. I don't think Howie's the devil. You know, I don't think Howie is, you know, David Putty running down the street dressed up in devil's gear, you know, scaring priests or anything like that. But I do think that he has made some big mistakes. And... You know, when I was listening the other day to his press conference, I was hoping to hear some things that were comforting, some things that would make me feel better about the situation. And that didn't necessarily happen. And I want to know what you think of these comments that Howie made. First, here is one when asked about, and this is Ruben Frank asking Howie about the young talent on the roster right now.
Yeah, Ruben, you know, I don't know if that age group, you know, 26 or 27, you picked that for a certain reason. I'm not trying to be funny. I don't know if there's certain reasons, 26 or 27. But I feel like we did whatever we had to do to try to win a championship in 2017. And when I look at the rosters in 2017, 2018, and 2019, I think objectively, those are really good rosters. You know, obviously 2017 had a lot of success, 2018, 15 yards from the championship game. And, you know, I know when Joe left to become the GM of the Jets, he even felt like our roster last year was as good as those two rosters, maybe even better. But clearly, we're not the same roster right now. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time here in the last couple of weeks when the season wasn't going the right way about studying teams like ours that maybe have had some success, maybe even won a Super Bowl and then had a down year, and what happened, and even other sports. And a lot of times, as much as we didn't want to do it in the off season, I think that we got to look objectively at it, and we did do it, is you hang on to those teams. And we had this off season plan, and I think it was a good plan. And I think we pivoted a little bit because of the pandemic. Not that that's an excuse, because it's not, but I think we pivoted a little bit, and we kind of knew in our gut last year sitting here that it was the right thing to do to turn over the team and get more picks and get more young players. And I don't think we went full-fledged in that, and that's my responsibility.
There are a few concerning things. First of all, and Mike said this in my ear during the comment, is, you know, he talks about, well, Joe Douglas thought we had a really good roster. Who the hell cares what Joe Douglas thinks?
He helped assemble it. Like, right, it'd be right. Weird if he didn't.
Right, yeah. Why would Joe Douglas not think that it was a good roster? He basically put it together.
It's like, boy, Howie, we really did a number on this one.
So I don't get that. But really toward the end of that, where, you know, Howie's kind of defending his record, kind of defending the roster the last couple of years, and then he mentions the pandemic. And he says it's not an excuse, but you're pretty much using it as an excuse. Here's more from Howie in terms of some of the changes the Eagles made this past offseason due to the pandemic.
Well, I don't want to blame this on the pandemic. I think what we saw was we had an opportunity with having the only staff that was coming back to maybe make more of a run with veteran players than we were planning if we had an offseason program, if we had OTAs, and giving those guys the opportunities. Now, there are a lot of rookies who played really well this year. So again, not making that as an excuse, but when we had some opportunities after the draft to kind of change this team, I think we went with some veteran players. And I think we did that because it was more short-term thinking. And we've put a lot of resources into this team in terms of money and free agents and trading draft picks. And, you know, there's a time where that doesn't mean we're not trying to win, but there's a time that you have to pivot and understand what you've been doing and make sure that you're also taking care of the future of the team. And I think that that was something that we felt last year when we talked after the Seattle playoff game. And I think because of the way the window was, maybe we felt like we weren't able to do our player development as much as we would in a normal year. And whether that's right or wrong, you know, that's one of the things we have to look back on and how we adjusted to that.
Now, you know, again, like Howie mentions two times in there that he's not using the pandemic as an excuse, while basically using the pandemic as an excuse. Now, I think his point is somewhat interesting. I'm not sure if I go as far to say it's valid, but the Eagles thinking that young players will be less effective due to lack of time, working, you know, on the practice field, that obviously did not prove to be true for most of the league. You know, you look at Justin Jefferson, you look at Justin Herbert, Chase Young, like, good players are good players, and good young players are good players, and rookies still came in and had massive impacts this year. So that doesn't really fly to me. And, you know, Howie's kind of excuse as, or reasoning as to why the Eagles went with older players instead of getting the roster younger. And this is something they had talked about leading up to last year, even though they didn't really do it. But here's more from Howie as the Eagles head into this offseason, talking about transitioning to a more of a long-term approach.
Yeah, Jimmy, I've been here for a long time, and I have tremendous feelings about this football team, this organization, the people in this organization. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to be in this league for a long time. And so I'm going to do everything that's in the best interest of this team to get this team back to being a perennial playoff team. And I'm not worried about my job. That's not anything that really concerns me. That's out of my hands. I'm worried in doing what's the best and right thing for this team to get back. And like I said, when we talked about it, I think that some of the things that we did were more short-term oriented. You know, I think winning in 17, we wanted to do whatever it took and whatever resources it took to win, especially when we kind of saw the opportunity. And then 18 felt like maybe it was an opportunity to run it back, you know, with the players that we had. And maybe even in 19, just continue to keep it going. And as much as there's a little voice inside of your head that said, you know, now is probably the right time to change it, I think that's my responsibility, that I didn't really listen to that as much as possible. And now we're in a situation we are in now where change is necessary and change is inevitable to this roster and the things that we need to do to get back being the kind of team that we know we can be.
I mean, I hope Howie's telling the truth there, because that's something the Eagles do need to do. Like, clearly, they need to get a lot younger. They need to start looking at this as more of a rebuild. That window from 2017, it's closed. It's closed. This team next year might be better. This might be a playoff team next year. This is not going to be a Super Bowl contending team next year. And the Eagles, for whatever reason, whether a pandemic, whatever, they did not get younger to the point they needed to this past offseason. And here's one more from Howie talking about if there's anything specifically that he regrets from this past offseason.
You know, Mike, I think that when we went into March and there was a new CBA, I feel like we felt like maybe we could do some things from a cap perspective because of the growth that was going on with the new CBA, with the new TV deals, with the potential 17th game. And then obviously it kind of comes back and you have the pandemic and now you'll have more restrictions. So I think maybe that, maybe being so aggressive in March and then kind of taking the foot off the pedal a little bit. I think that was a big deal right there. And then after that, you know, I think right now there's a lot of things in my mind when you're 4-11-1 and coming off three straight playoff appearances that you're regretting right now at this moment. And I think that I just got to get to a place where it's kind of a calm mind and it's not as fresh and be able to look at it with some objective lenses. And I will do that and sit there and we'll talk about it as a staff and we'll talk about it as a group. And, you know, I feel fortunate that I have people around me who aren't going to just tell me what I want to hear and they'll tell me the truth of what they think. We've had some of those conversations already. Obviously, the season wasn't going well even when we were at the bye and we were 3-4. So I will continue to do that.
Now, what I found interesting about that cut was at the end when Howie says, basically, I don't have a ton of yes men around me. Like, I have people that will give me their honest opinion. I have people that are going to tell me what I need to hear. You know, do you believe that's true? Do you believe that the last couple of years, essentially, the Eagles have had bad luck? Because I will say with drafting, and I'm not excusing the Eagles' bad draft picks, but certainly luck is involved. There's no doubt luck's involved. You know, who knows? Maybe Andre Diller doesn't get hurt this year. Maybe he has a good season as your left tackle. I'm sure there are many out there that may disagree, including my producer, Mike Angelina. But maybe he would have. And when he gets hurt for an entire season, loses an entire season, that is something that is tough to swallow. But do you believe that this front office can get things turned around? Essentially, are you buying what Howie is selling, that he's learned? That he's learned from his mistakes? That this team is going to get younger? That they are going to correct some of the mistakes they have made over the last couple years? The one thing I'll say in Howie's favor is he has worked himself out of a difficult situation before. This team was a mess at the end of 2015. Locker room discord, a salary cap that was a disaster, all of these issues. Howie was able to work himself out of it. Can he do it again? Do you trust him to do it again? Do you trust Howie Roseman to stay in this organization? And are there enough people around him to tell him the things that he needs to hear so he doesn't just go rogue on his own moving forward? Is he a competent leader as we move forward? And basically, you know, do you trust Howie Roseman? Do you trust Jeffrey Lurie as the leaders, as we're talking about leadership, to get this thing right? 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. See Dave in Cherry Hill. Dave, you'll be first after the break. And then you, if you want to join, have a social media gripe coming up next as well. And we'll have to pay tribute, too, to a member of WIP who I never knew, but was instrumental in building the station. So we'll do that coming up as well. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly. Mike Angelina producing. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham. In the 3 o'clock hour, we will get more into the Sixers. Is a heck of a game to watch on Wednesday night between they and the Washington Wizards, and a real good test tonight with Kyrie, KD, and the Brooklyn Nets coming to town. I know Joel Embiid last time didn't play in a back-to-back situation. I can guarantee you he's playing in this game. I mean, there's no way they're going to sit him for the Brooklyn game. National TV played a lot of minutes tonight or last night, but you'd expect Joel to be out there tomorrow. But if you want to get on the Sixers, welcome to. We're talking about Howie Roseman and whether he can remain with the organization and provide some value here. And, you know, I think so. I do. But Howie has said some concerning things and some of the excuses about the pandemic. We'll get to the drafting record later on. Does trouble you a little bit. So we'll continue talking about Howie and his role moving forward here. I do want to give you a social media gripe, though, before we get to Dave. And my social media gripe today, and I don't know if this is one I've said before, it probably is, but when people refer to Twitter as this website, that bothers me. Do you know what I'm talking about, Mike? Where people will tweet and they'll be like, you know, I don't like some of the things I see on this website, or I am very careful about what I say on this website. Like, just say Twitter. It's a lot easier than saying this website. I feel like it's a trend that people have all jumped onto.
Yeah, there is. It reminds me of, now I got along with this person despite this, but someone who used to work here used to refer to Twitter as twitter.com. He would say, follow me at whatever on twitter.com.
Yeah, I don't like twitter.com either.
Like, we know it's twitter.com.
Yeah, wow. Now I'm interested. You're going to have to tell me off the air during the break who this person is. Should we say it on air? I mean, does it matter?
She or he? No.
She or, oh, so you're implicating, you're implying that
I'm implying
it's a female.
Be of either gender.
Okay.
Either.
Interesting. We'll convene here during the break.
You really don't know who I'm talking about?
I don't.
Huh.
I'm trying to think of a female who used to work here. Oh.
Who said it was a female?
Oh, I think I know.
I didn't say it had to be a female.
Okay.
Because I put it first, you think it's a female.
Well, is it a female or a male? Just tell me. You can tell me that part on the air.
You could just think about it.
All right. All right, well, we'll
just get back to your show.
Break. All right, yeah, I'll get back to the show. Sorry, I get a little distracted when I find something interesting. But, yeah, that's my social media gripe for the day. When people say this website instead of Twitter, I don't really get it. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Dave in Cherry Hill. What's happening, Dave?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Listening to that the Howie Roseman piece there, it sounds like that when he said he stayed with veteran players because they knew the system, didn't need the offseason as much, that the person he's referring to is Jason Peters. There's a guy, he could have brought Maialata up earlier, but he decided to go with veterans, and that was one of the keys to their whole downfall this year.
I'd agree with that, Dave. Jason Peters, it was a terrible move to bring him back. It was, and it was a big, big mistake on Howie's part.
And he was holding Maialata back when he was probably available. They knew his potential, maybe not. But what he did not address was his role in putting them on the squad. You know, we've been debating that all season long. Was it Peterson's decision or Roseman's decisions to keep that roster with the veteran players, and Jordan Howard too, another possibility, and Carson Wentz, another veteran that he stuck around with.
Dave, but going into the season, nobody thought Carson Wentz was like over the hill and he was like a veteran player who's too old to bring back, you know.
No, but earlier in the season, two or three games before then, they stayed with him rather than giving the new guy a chance.
Yeah, no, I'll see. I see what you're saying in that regard. Where you look at Peters, you look at Alshon and guys that were on the field. Instead of the younger players, and it's a mistake. They shouldn't have been here to start with. And I really hope that he has seen the error of his ways moving forward. Do you believe, Dave, that moving forward, how he has seen the error of his ways and the mistakes of building, and this team will look to get younger in a dramatic way?
Well, I think Howie is flexible enough to change his mind, but I don't think it's just this year. He's been doing this for several years, staying with the veteran players instead of going with younger players. And I do think, though, that he is a flexible guy, and he could change his mind and change his way of doing things.
Yeah, no, it's true, Dave, and I appreciate the call. Thanks. And no, it's true with Howie when he talks about running it back and the fact that this team, and it seems like every year they say the same thing, that they can't be too sentimental with these guys and they got to, move on from these personal relationships. Yet every year, Jason Peters and Alshon and Deshaun and all these guys that Howie's had relationships with, or Jeffrey Lurie's had relationships with, are back. And it's one area where they need to certainly address and get younger as a roster and as a team. Now, one thing you know with the Eagles, though, is they do tend to overcorrect. And they always seem to overcorrect, remember last offseason was all about speed. Speed, speed, speed. So they draft Jalen Reagor. They draft Davion Taylor. They draft a bunch of fast guys, but they don't necessarily draft the best players. Like, I think you look at this offseason, it doesn't mean you can't sign any veteran. It doesn't mean you can't get value out of any veteran player, but you got to pick the right ones. And, I want to know whether you think Howie is the right guy to do that and whether he can stay in this organization at all. Because, I know most people don't trust Howie to be the guy running the show. I understand that. I've talked to enough people to know that's not the general consensus. But do you think he can remain in the organization and offer value in doing what he's good at? Because the fact that he doesn't seem to be learning from his mistakes leads me to believe he doesn't want to give up power. And if that's the case, then yeah, Jeffrey Lurie has to step up and do what's right for the franchise. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. And before we go to the break here, and open lines right now if you want to get in, and you'll be first in the next segment. But I needed to pay tribute to Tom Bigby. Now, Tom Bigby is a name you would hear every night on this shift when Big Daddy was in, and Big Daddy would run through his birthdays, and Big Daddy would always wish a happy birthday to Tom Bigby, who was, I remember when I started working here, I didn't know, I'm like, wow, this Tom Bigby guy does a lot of things when I was producing for Big Daddy.
How old was Bigby when you produced?
Was he always the same age? Or did he vary that?
So big events would age him.
Okay.
So he turned 63 when the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I think he turned 62 when Adam left as producer. That was like kind of a gift or whatever, whatever you want to call it.
What a big occasion there. Was Adam the one who you were referring to earlier?
No.
Okay.
No, it's somebody who like worked here recently.
Okay.
Yeah, so big events is what I'm saying would age Tom Bigby. That's what we were talking about.
Right. But yeah, Big Daddy would always wish a happy birthday to Tom Bigby. And if you don't know who Tom Bigby was, Tom Bigby used to be the program director at WIP. And he predated me. He predated Mike. But I've heard Tom Bigby stories for years from, Angelo and people in the morning team. And, anybody that was here during that period would talk a lot about Tom Bigby, and I just wanted to pay tribute. I did not know the man. I never met him, but listening to WIP and hearing us now, it's only possible because of him. He built this station, essentially. He made it what it was. He transformed it from the infancy stages of WIP to the kind of giant that WIP became in this city. So I wanted to pay tribute to Tom Bigby, who passed away the other day. Rest in peace. And as we go to break here, we'll come back after we do this. But here was the tribute Mike Angelina did of all of Tom Bigby's jobs over the years. Thanks
just
to
a handful of them. Thanks not to all of them.
Okay, a handful of Tom Bigby's jobs. Of course, if we did all of them, we'd be here all night. But here is Big Daddy listing Tom Bigby's professions over the years. Big Daddy is so creative. Russian poet? That was great. That was very creative. That would always be one of the highlights of the Big Daddy show, was the birthday segment.
Yeah, or the things that happened segment, because he would find these obscure things that, and then it'd be, I can't even think of examples, but like, and then the direction he would take them.
Yeah, Big Daddy is so much more creative than me. I'll admit that. Big Daddy was more creative, I'd say, than anybody at the station with his show. Rest in peace to Tom Bigby, who, as Big Daddy has told you over the years, many different professions, but former PD at WIP and really built the station. So our condolences to his family. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Next segment, we'll talk a little bit about the Sixers and the game from last night. And also, I have a side topic to throw out there, because I saw the worst jerseys I have ever seen in the history of sports. And we'll do a side topic off that when we get back. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, Dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.